MZTV.
Hi everybody, this is Martin Zender, and they have temporarily let me out of Studio One. Get to breathe the free air out here in my car. I do have the air conditioning on. I need to keep the air circulating here to keep my brain circulating at full capacity, which it's doing now. And I actually don't even need my brain at full capacity to discuss the topic that I'm going to discuss with you today, and that is, what does God think of premarital sex? Now, actually, this is the wrong question, but I pose it this way because the term premarital sex is all the rage, don't you know? So I figure I put that in the title. I can jump off from there. The question is, well, when you say premarital sex, this is what the thought is. The thought is that you're engaged to marry a woman, or woman, you're engaged to marry a man, but your wedding is not set until like August the 14th. Okay, you're going to get married August the 14th. Unfortunately, it's now February the 10th. March, April, May, June, July. So you got 6 months. And the question is, wow, what will God think if you and your betrothed get together and do the deed before the date? Do the deed before the date. Do the deed before the date. Is it legal? Is it lawful? Will God frown on you? Will he curse your childbearing? Will he make your womb barren? Will he not release your loved ones in purgatory? And yes, this is a Catholic thing. This whole consideration is not a scriptural thing, because the scripture's pretty easy about who you can and who you can't have sex with, and when you can have sex with them and when you can't have sex with them. This is a leftover question from the most ridiculous cartoon-like organization on the face of the planet, namely the Catholic Church. But the Protestants aren't too far behind. I'm putting the majority of Christians in with this, because they kind of toe the line with the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has put itself in the place of allowing you, of requiring you to have a license in order to be with somebody that you love. It's like the Pope sitting up there telling you what I'm going to do. I am going to allow you to have a license to have sex with that woman. Oh, thank you, Pope Dum-Dum. Yeah. As if the Pope has this power. And I will tell you this, you don't need a license to have sex with people. You don't need a license to be married to people. In fact, the state is imposing itself in your relationship if it insists that you need its permission to be with the person that you love. So the Catholic Church has managed to make sex a sacrament and marriage, well, they made marriage a sacrament, and then they say you can't have sex without being married, so therefore sex goes hand in hand with the sacrament of marriage. You know, I sat through the masses for 18 years, and when the priest takes that factory-made wafer of whatever, bread, unleavened bread, and he holds it up to the crucifix on the altar there, and the altar boy tinkles the bell, tinkle, 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 tinkle. That was the magic moment when the factory-made wafer became the body of Christ. Well, it doesn't happen. It's not the body of Christ. When Jesus Christ held up the bread and said, "This is my body," it was a metaphor. Too bad he didn't use the simile. We could have avoided this giant Catholic deception. If Jesus said, this bread is like my body, would have solved a lot of problems. But he used the stronger metaphor. He said, "This is my body." Yeah, it's a metaphor. But anyway, the Catholic Church has this magical thing. They like to do these magical things so that they have power. Sex is not a magical sacrament. Sex is not a mystical thing. It's a physical and emotional, yes, and it can be a spiritual union between a man and a woman. That's right. And you don't need a license to do it. But here's the question, who can you do it with? I will take the title of this video a step further, and we'll just say, because this is really the key question. If you're betrothed to someone, if you're engaged to someone, of course you can have sex with them before the date. The date is meaningless. God doesn't give a crap about the date. It's whether or not you've promised yourselves to one another. Have you promised yourselves to one another? Then you're married. You're married the day you do that. State, be damned. Church, be damned. Here comes the bride, be damned. Rice, wedding cake, it's all a bunch of histrionic nonsense. I hate weddings. Just want to get to the business of being married. Just we confess our love and our dedication to one another. I will take care of you for the rest of your life. You will love me till death do us part. You can do that anywhere. You can do it under a tree. You can do it in a car. You can do it on the beach. You can do it in a bar. Mm-hmm. You can do it at the pool. You can do it on the street. You can do it on your knees. You can do it on your feet. You can do it on a bed. You can do it on your head. You can do it anytime before God makes you dead. So the question is, the real question is, can you have sex with another single person? Can two single people have sex without coming under the condemnation of God? And who cares if you come under the condemnation of the church? Because the church, the Christian church, is wrong about everything. They don't even know that God's the savior of all humanity. They think most of creation is going to be tormented for eternity. They don't even realize that God is the sovereign of the universe. They think humans have free will. So they're total idiots. They're confused as all hell. And they think that, they think that 1 + 1 + 1 = 1 and things like that. It's a mess. So you're going to believe them on matters of sexuality? I say let's go to the scriptures. That's what I always do. So some people might not like what I'm going to say today or what I have already said, but I go by the scriptures. So yeah, I just teach from the scriptures and let the chips fall. I know I haven't gone there yet, but I'm getting there. Don't worry about it. So the question is, can two single people have sex? Well, yes, of course you can. Nothing in the Bible against it, nothing. And I'm going to show you that, nothing in the Bible against it. In fact, there's a lot of things for it. God gave sex for pleasure. He did give it also for procreation, and it's good for procreation. In fact, I think it's the only way they figured out that babies come, but it's also for pleasure. And you can have sex without being married. Sex does not a marriage make. Sex is sex, marriage is marriage. Intercourse is intercourse. A covenant relationship with a man and a woman, that's another matter altogether. The covenant relationship between a man and a woman is a great place for sex. Yeah, it's ideal, it's fantastic. But, and you can be in a, as is the case of Joseph and Mary, they were in a covenant relationship, but they weren't having sex until Jesus was born. Then they had sex day and night. Jesus had brothers and sisters, of course. So you can have a covenant relationship without having sex, and you can have sex without having a covenant relationship. Happens all the time. For instance, in Israel, men had wives and they had concubines. A wife was a covenant relationship, like, I will take care of you forever. Oh, thank you, my Romeo. And you could also, they also had concubines. Concubines were women who were not wives, who were in it for the sex. Don't shoot the messenger. Do not shoot the messenger. There's a difference between concubines and wives. Why? Because there's a difference between sex and a covenant relationship. So you want to know if you can have sex with another person. Wow. Pretty serious question here. Ooh. Folks, I can answer this question with half my brain tied behind my back. Unfortunately, traditions of the church have made this they've invented sins where God has not put any sins. Okay? They've invented it. Now, if you want to know, I will prove to you. I will prove to you three different ways that two single people can have sex. But I will say this before I embark on the scriptures. I got scriptures galore. I let scriptures do all my work for me. It's good to talk. If you're going to have sex with, and people think that I'm doing this just, I'm Martin Santa, you're just doing this to
excuse yourself. Martin, you're in Fort Lauderdale. You're out there having sex with a woman every night of the week, so you're just looking up this to give yourself an excuse.
Yeah. Well, you come down here, see how I live, and tell me if you still think that. No, it's not the case at all.
You're just out for your own license.
Now, I'm not going to show you my license. Yeah. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So this is not, this is totally a matter of what says God on the matter. That's the most important thing. That's what we care about. So I am going to tell you who you can and who you can't have sex with, and I'll show you three different ways from the scriptures. Leviticus chapter 20.
Martin, why are you going to Leviticus? Are you trying to bring us back under the law?
No, I'm trying to show you that the law of Moses is actually more lenient than the Christian religion on who you can and can't have sex with. So if I can show you that even in the law of Moses, two single people can have sex? Oh yes, I did say this. You should ask the person. The woman should ask the man, what does this, we're about to have sex. What does this mean to you? And the man asks the woman, what does this mean to you? It should be clear, because some people think that if you have sex with them, then that's it, you're married. And some people think that you have to clear the air. You have to say what they might be under some religious Catholic idea that having sex means you're married. And you know what? You know how many lives have been screwed up by this? So many lives have been screwed up by this idea that as soon as you put that in there, that you're married, that you've entered into a covenant relationship. The Catholic Church has foisted this deception upon the world. It's not true. But how many people, because they've had sex with a woman, the guy says, oh, now I have to marry her now. It's my religious obligation. My parents told me, my pastor told me, the priest told me, well, you had sex with her, so that's it. So how many people do you think have gotten married with someone that they know they shouldn't be with? They know that they will not live happily ever after with this person. They know that this is not their soulmate. They just had a moment of passion, put that in there, and that was it. And either the woman said, it's like the Meatloaf song, you know, will you love me? Will you love me forever? Will you leave me? Or will you never leave me? Will you make me so happy for the rest of my life? Will you take me away? Will you make me your wife? It's this whole thing where you put that in there. Will you make me your wife? Well, maybe so. But you have to discuss that ahead of time. But as far as God, I gotta know right now. As far as God is concerned, no. No. That is that. And the covenant relationship is that. That is that. This is this. The twain can meet, often do meet, but they don't have to meet. I'm going to show you that. So many people who don't belong together had a moment of passion and then forced themselves to get married out of some false religious obligation, either to a pastor, priest, or parents who didn't know what they were talking about. You got to get married now. And they get married and they're miserable. They're miserable. If only they realized that this... watch the car cam. This does not automatically mean this. Okay? Now, who can you have sex with? That's a great question. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. As for a man, these were the sexual sins are listed. As for a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his associate's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Yea, death. And in case you don't know what death is, you will be put to death. Yay, death. You get it? Death. Yay. Yes, I do mean death. As for a man who lies with his father's wife, you can't have sex with your father's wife, okay? You can't have sex with your mother. Well, you could. In this age of grace, you can have sex with your mother, and you will not come into God's disfavor. You're saved by grace, period. So the law of Moses doesn't like it. Now, you should not have sex with your mother. You shouldn't. Okay? Don't do it. It's illicit. It's prostitution. Prostitution is unlawful intercourse between the sexes. God doesn't like relatives having sex. He does not like it. As for a man who lies with his father's wife, or your stepmother, in this case, probably his stepmother, the way it's put here, having sex with his father's wife. He has exposed his father's nakedness. The two of them shall be put to death. Yea, death. Their blood guilt will be on them. and a man who lies with his daughter-in-law. The two of them shall be put to death. Now, your daughter-in-law might very well be an attractive woman. Don't have sex with her! Can you withhold yourself? Can you restrain? Can you? All right, try. Try hard, because this is bad. Do not do it. We're in the era of grace. You could do it without losing your salvation, of course. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. But while all things are lawful today, not all things are expedient. This is one of them. Having sex with your daughter-in-law, not expedient. Don't do it. You heard it from me, Martin Zender. Do not have sex with your mother, your stepmother, or your daughter-in-law. Do not do it. Can you do this for me? Can you? Okay. The two of them shall be put to death. They have shown decadence. Yes. Also, a man who lies with a male as bedding with a woman. They do an abhorrence. I've talked about this with men who lust for each other. I don't get it. I'm completely heterosexual. Do I understand it? No, I don't. Do I understand like men being friendly and you really love a man, you got a bromance? Yeah, I get that. So some men, they like to share intimacies, they like to hug a little too long. All right, if you have to do it, you have to do it. I don't want to see two men kissing. Just don't. To women kissing, yes. To men kissing, no. But what is spoken of here, a man who lies with a male as bedding with a woman. In other words, the man is putting that in there, in the bad place. He's putting this in the bad place. Don't do that, okay? For me. Will you do that for me? It's a bad thing. Yes, even in this age of grace, you can do it and God's not going to condemn you, but it's not expedient. Stop it. You can be friendly. If you have to do other things, you have to do other things. Just don't do that. That's the sin. Boom, that's the sin. As for a man who takes a woman and her mother, this is lewdness. In fire shall they burn them. This is a serious thing. Don't have sex with a woman and her mother. Now, I don't know if this is at the same time. Could be. But I think it's a continued relation. If you're having sex with a woman, don't have sex with her mother also. Even if it's, if you have sex with her on Wednesday night and you have sex with her mother on Thursday night, nix. Nix it. Stop. Please, don't. Just have sex with one or the other, okay? Have sex with her mother or have sex with her. Don't have sex with both. It's lewd. It's lewd. Also, a man who gives his emission to a beast, he shall be put to death. All right, we're not going to say any more about that. As for a woman who approaches to any beast to copulate with it, we're not going to say any more about that, okay? It's not expedient. It's lawful, yes. Oh, yes, it's lawful today. Today is lawful. Then, in law of Moses days, no, it wasn't lawful. Today, all things are lawful. But, not expedient. As for a man who takes his sister, a daughter of his father, or a daughter of his mother, and sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, this is a base thing. It's very primitive. Don't mess around with your sister. Or sisters, don't mess around with your brother. Are we all good with that? No problems? Okay, let's move on then. The nakedness of your mother's sister or your father's sister, that is your sister-in-law, brother-in-law, you shall not expose, for he who does so causes his kin to be naked, their depravity they shall bear. And in this verse 20, Leviticus 20:20, easy verse to remember. Hold this one close to your bosom. Okay, you men and women, you both have bosoms. I want you to hold this close. As for a man who lies with his aunt, this is ridiculous. The nakedness of his uncle, he's exposed. You're screwing your uncle by screwing your aunt. You screw your aunt literally, you screw your uncle figuratively, okay? By extension. Stay away from it. As for a man who takes the wife of his brother, this is impurity. Yeah, you guys, you have a brother, your brother's wife, she's good looking, I understand it. Don't have sex with her. But in Israel, if your brother died, then you had to have sex with her. This is the thing. Yeah, it's the Levirate law. You had to have... No, I might be wrong about the name of that particular law. But you were required to take your brother's wife as your own if your brother died. But while your brother's alive, stay away from his wife, okay? Go over to his house, watch football, drink beer with him, whatever. You can look at his wife. You can admire her beauty. You can tell your brother, man, your wife is hot. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Don't have sex with her. Don't put that in there. Don't put that in there, okay? Verse 22, you observe all my statutes and my ordinances, keep them in the land. That's it. Those are all. Why did I go through all these? Because I'm trying to make you see what is not there. What is not there? Do you see anything here about a man shouldn't have sex with a woman? No, it's not there. These are the people you can't have sex with. Your mother, your aunt, your sister, your mother's wife, your father's wife, your mother-in-law, relatives. Don't have sex with relatives. Don't have sex with animals. And men, don't put that in the bad place of another man. And that's it. So it's what's not there. Now, I'm going to go to another law. This is really fantastic. This is Deuteronomy 22, 28, and 29. Whoever heard of this? Where else are you going to get this stuff? And I'm going to go to Exodus 22, verses 16 through 17. The only time that a man in Israel who had sex with a single woman was required to marry her was if she was a virgin. And the fact that there's a specific law about this tells you that it was not unusual or wrong for a man to have sex with a single woman. That he's not taking from another man. Okay? Deuteronomy 22, 28 through 29. If a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her, and they are discovered, he shall pay her father 50 shekels of silver. That's a hefty fee, my friends. That's like having your library book like 3 years overdue. 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the young woman, for he has violated her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. Why? Because a virgin was valuable in Israel. A virgin was very desirable. This was a pure, clean, fresh woman. And a man, the father of the virgin, he actually got money. The suitor would pay him. I think they call it the dowry, or I don't know. Yeah, something like that. He would pay the father of the woman for her hand in marriage. So it was very, this all sounds terrible kind of to us. Our Western sensibilities are offended. I understand that, but it was valuable to have a virgin daughter. And so if some ruffian, you know, and a virgin woman had to prove that she was a virgin on her wedding day, there are certain ways you could prove it. I tell you this, okay? So if a woman was raped, God forbid, by a man, her value, this, beside the fact that rape is horrible, ignore that for a second. He ruined her value on the market. He ruined her value as a virgin to her father. And so he was forced to marry her, because after that, nobody was going to marry her. See? Nobody's going to marry her because she was a virgin. Virgins were a big deal in Israel. Exodus 22, 16 through 17. If a man seduces a virgin, now before we had a man raping a virgin, this is a man seducing a virgin. So he's not raping her. He's like, hey, baby, how do you like my new car? Hey, baby, I got a boat out on the Mediterranean here. How would you like to take a trip to Crete? Yeah, before I continue on here in Exodus 22, I just thought of the word that I couldn't think of before. People think I'm trying to justify myself. That's it. You're trying to justify your behavior. You're living like the prodigal son down there in Fort Lauderdale. No, in fact, I'm not. Thanks for asking, though. Thanks for being concerned about me, but no. So Exodus 22, a man seduces a virgin who is not pledged to be married and sleeps with her. That's a figure of speech for has sex with her. He must pay the bride price, and she shall be his wife. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he must still pay the bride price for virgins. So it's still kind of stiff. He's got to pay the bride price. Might not be 50 shekels of silver, not too sure there. But she still has to take her as his wife, but the father could refuse the guy. So it's not as bad if you seduce. So even with a virgin, it sounds like, to me, if it's consensual with a virgin, you're still in good shape. If the man says, if the guy says to the virgin, look, you know that, you know, we really have a thing for each other, but if I have sex with you and you agree, you know, your virginity is going to be lost and might cause you problems afterwards. She says, that's okay. I really got it for you. Then, okay. I see that there's room for that, and the man would not have to pay the 50 shekels in that situation. So you see, the only time a man was required to marry a woman he has sex with is if she was a virgin. Virgins or no virgins, this topic does make me want to light up a cigarette.